Today on Real Radio.
You are alive and living now, and you are a Christian, I trust, in here tonight. Because God, in His sovereign, supreme, awesome knowledge, deemed it so that you and I would be here now. You might say, well, boy, I would have loved to have lived during the times of Jesus. That would have been pretty awesome, I must admit.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a mini-series that focuses on the strong warning issued by the Apostle John in the opening verses of chapter 4. He writes in very plain language, "Be not deceived." One way professing believers can be deceived is through signs and wonders, or, as certain texts say, lying signs and wonders. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs looks at today as we continue this series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. The series is called Living in the Days of Deception.
Whoever these people are, they have an incredible charisma and ability to perform signs and wonders. That doesn't mean if we pray for Norm or if we pray for Diane or for, you know, Skip or somebody who might be sick or cancerous or whatever, and we pray and God heals them, that doesn't mean that that was done by demonic activity or work. God heals. What will always be associated with the deception is the sign and wonder will grab the attention of the observer, and that is what Satan uses to put in the venom of falsehood. Are you with me? Does that make sense? It's very, very, very true, and it's very tragic. So tonight on what we're looking at, let's consider a few things. The deception of signs and wonders, the first thing we want to look at, I just would have you to jot it down. Hope this makes sense to you. Put down the word unique. We have a new origin. When he says in verse 5 that they are of the world, we know immediately that we are not of the world. And I want to ask you tonight, do you know this in your life? Do you know that you are not of the world now? You're a Christian. You're not scheming. You're not conniving. You're not manipulative. You are not deceptive. You're not trying to gather a host of people around you because you want to be some kind of a spiritual leader guru to somebody. No, you're a child of God now. You've been born of God. Listen, altogether unique. Now hear this. Unique, I put that up there because unique, the very, very meaning of this, they, did you hear what he's saying? They are of the world. You are of God. They are, you are. There's a division, naturally. But see, you don't say this in church. You can't go on the radio and talk about this. You'll get flooded with letters. They'll pull you off the air. It's not good for ratings. When you begin to say that there are those who are of the world, and Jesus said, he's so subtle, you know. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you'll do. John the Baptist, he was equally subtle. The scribes and Pharisees came out to see what he was doing, and he said, oh, you brood of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? It's almost as though he was saying, you know, what are you coming out here for? You deserve the wrath that's coming, you bunch of snakes. Well, that's real subtle, you know. Can you imagine? Imagine if Jesus showed up today and said these things, or John. Well, they would censor him. He would be unloving, not very tolerant. And he certainly, as our last study was last time together, not in the spirit of unity. But it's true. Remember, we must never sacrifice truth on the altar of unity. Unity comes out of truth for those who are born of God. They rally to the truth. You know what's neat in this room right here? Is I know some of you, I don't know all of you, but you know what's very cool? And in heaven, we'll get a chance to do this, to sit down at a table and break bread together and eat one with another and begin to talk and just feel each other out spiritually. It's very cool. It's not long till you find out what that person's made of. And I'm not talking about this hyper-spiritual stuff. You know, when the pastor comes over for dinner, it's kind of like, you know, the house smells like roses and the dog's been washed. And I mean, I have a dog. Look, I know this stuff happens, but the thing is, oh, the pastor's here. And I mean, that's cute. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you're being hypocritical about it. It's not. It's very, very kind. That's nice. But I understand that if we were to spend more time together, that we would let down our hair and we would be more casual. And that's when you know people. When they drop the brick on their foot, that's when you know them. It's true. It's very true. That's when you know them. And the reason this wonderful transformation's happened in our lives, we don't follow them who are of the world. We now follow God who, because by the Spirit coming with us, we've been born again by the Spirit of God. We have a life altogether unique. We are not them. In Thessalonians somewhere, Paul warns us, 2 Thessalonians, he's telling us, he's saying, listen, that day when the Lord comes will not overtake us as a thief. Now, a lot of people, good, well-meaning Christians will say, well, nobody knows the coming of the Lord. Nobody knows the day or the hour. That's true. Nobody knows the day or the hour. And well-meaning Christians will even say, well, you know, the Bible says he's coming like a thief in the night. Oh, really? Read the fine print of your Bible. Coming as a thief in the night for whom? Paul says he's coming as a thief in the night to those who walk in darkness. But we are not of the night, nor are we of darkness. For that day shall not overtake us as a thief. That's good news. How is it true? We have been born of God. The moment the Holy Spirit came and made residence in us, supernaturally, a light was turned on. And we have a divine origin. It's all new, and it's altogether unique, so that we don't have to worry about signs and wonders. Oh, am I going to be deceived by a sign or a wonder? Hey, you know what we ought to do? Is when we see a sign and a wonder and walk up to somebody and say, hey, did you just pray for them and they had their eyes open? They can see? Yep, sure did. Who are you? Forget the guy that had his eyes open. Let him go away and praise the Lord or whatever. Say, I'm curious. What are you? Who are you? Well, you know, I'm a prophet. Oh, you're a prophet. Great. Who do you prophesy? I prophesy in the name of God. Great. Awesome. Who's Jesus? And you begin to probe. You begin to investigate. Now, will we do it? Probably not. You know why? Because our jaws will be hanging down going, ooh, ah, wow. Can you come home to my house and, you know, fix my car or something? We get all oohed and awed. Wow, see that sign? See that wonder? Nothing wrong with a sign and wonder. What's the source? That's important. Very, very important. So we need to be careful. By the way, I want to throw this in. It's not exactly where we should be going tonight, but consider this. There's a lot of stuff going on right now about this ecumenical union stuff. Consider these, the thems versus the us, if I can put it that way. Those who are of the light and those who are of the darkness. Ecumenical union. Have you heard this term? If you haven't, it's out there. It's a big deal. And there's a lot of, quote, evangelical, close quote, people get involved in it. And it's pretty scary. But remember, some of your Bibles might say Tyndale on it. You ever heard that name? Tyndale. What about Wycliffe? You ever hear of him? And some of the greats, John Bunyan and others, these guys were destroyed because they wanted you to have the Bible in your hands. They wanted you to read the Bible on your own so you can follow God on your own rather than through some liturgical hierarchy. As a Christian, as a Bible-believing Christian, I can't lay down the differences. But see, the cry right now, in print, out there, on the internet, now, is Christians, lay down your differences with the Catholics. They're asking the Jews to lay down their differences with the Muslims. Now, that's amazing. They're asking Hindus to lay down their differences with Buddhists. They're even asking all of the groups that I just mentioned to lay down their differences with the cults of the world and come together as one people in one language, in one world, and one religion. And this is all over the news. I've got articles in my office from the local papers, from the Los Angeles Times, from New York Times, on and on for years. But it's really heating up. They are of the world. You say, that's a mean thing to say. It's not a mean thing to say if you understand prophecy. It's the way this is going. But Jesus says, listen, you are not of the world. The scriptures tell us over and over again. So immediately there's a division, and we have been so programmed that division's wrong. Charles Spurgeon called these divisions blessed subtractions. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, the church age, is like a man planting a mustard seed, and that mustard seed grew up into a great tree. Hello, mustard seeds don't grow up into great trees. That's not what they do. But Jesus said somebody planted a mustard seed and it grew into a great tree. And you say, well, that's weird. Yes, it is weird. And the birds of the air lodged in its branches. In the law of Bible study, what is called expositional constancy, that is a bad thing. Because whenever birds are mentioned generically, it usually refers to judgment. Birds, generic. When he's trying to convey something in a different way, he'll use the word like sparrow. You know, when the little sparrow falls to the ground, don't worry, you know, your father has care. He names the bird. But when he says, the birds of the air come and eat its flesh, that's not good. When the birds of the air come and snatch away the seed from the heart, that's not good. When the birds come and lodge in the branches of the church, that's not good. So what does God do from time to time? He sends a wind to blow, to knock the birds out of the tree. But don't worry. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and we are of God, and the Bible says that they are not of God. It's a fact. We don't want to run around with a spotlight and a flag and a banner saying, look, that guy's of God and that guy's not. That's not our place. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're just to know these things and to be on guard. It is definitely difficult in this time, but beware of this ecumenical union talk. One of the things under the unique origin that we have is that we have a new family. Thank God we have a new family. I don't want to spend much time on this, but very quickly, we have a new family. And that family, I have found in my life, perhaps you have too, is that it's deeper than even blood. The spiritual family that you and I are now in is, I think, more powerful and transcends even the bloodline that we have in this world. People have said blood's thicker than water. Well, if blood's thicker than water, and it is, has a greater viscosity by far, then spirit must be thicker than blood. Isn't it amazing? We have a brand new family, and that family rallies around the Word of God. The scripture says, you are of God here in verse 5. You are of God. I love that. Verse 4, you are of God, little children. Let me follow it down. And have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We have the family, we're in the family of God, and we have this relationship one with another. And because this is true and we have fellowship with each other, it is going to be difficult for us to be in the arena or in the context of falsehood without finding that out. We're going to know it. I mean, you'd have to be blind. You'd have to be in maybe in a church family that doesn't study the Bible. They don't go verse by verse to the Bible. I don't know. But if a believer is fellowshipping with a believer, which we're commanded to do, and I think one of those things is that we might be able to not only be as iron sharpens iron, but we might pray for one another, but also we might be able to warn one another of where we're at. This family of God is very powerful. The next thing that we know here regarding our unique origin is that we have a new authority to answer to. When it says here in verse 5 that they are of the world, listen, we're no longer of the world. Listen, were we once of the world? Oh man, were we ever? But we're not any longer. And we answer to a new authority. That new authority is God. People who once fought against authority, now they embrace God's authority. It's comforting. It's exciting. The Bible tells us that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. That word simply means the authority. And we have a new authority. Listen, we answer to him. Listen, we do not answer to our emotions. We do not answer to even our sight. If we see something that doesn't jive with Scripture, or you sense that the Holy Spirit is sending you a warning, be very careful. Go to your new authority. That is God, the Word of God. Go there. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. by the latest or the thing that maybe tickles the spine or causes you to deviate from the path that the Lord would have you on. The next thing that we consider here is that we have a new relationship, and I think that's pretty obvious. They're of the world. We are not of the world. We have a new relationship with God, with one another, and listen, we have a new relationship with the world. You ever been to Universal Studios? You walk into that place, and it's got all these props and things that are up there. And, you know, if you've been there enough, it's like twice. It's kind of like, yeah, that's so fake. But some of the stuff can really get you good. I noticed a car commercial the other day, and I didn't notice the car. I noticed that the car was being displayed on a what looked like New York City street. But it was Universal Studios because I recognized the buildings, and it's all fake. The world is that way. It has, to me, the trappings of the mall. You go into the mall, and you look at the store, and it's got all this, like, you look at the Disney store. That's a great example. The Disney store has got all those fun little statues out there and all the neat little things. And then you walk inside, look up in the ceiling past the bright lights. There's wires and junk hanging there. It's on a facade. Listen, our new relationship with God has so opened up our eyes that we're not even interested in what's fake anymore. We have no appetite for what's false. We don't want anything about it. It can't do anything for us. This new relationship with God is so filling and so satisfying that it causes the world to no longer be attractive. And so, spiritually, I use this as just an analogy. You walk into the mall, and it's all a facade. It's all glitter and lighting and angle and texture and coating, but it's not real. But we can get so caught up into that kind of thing, both physically and spiritually, that, you know, we depart from that relationship that we have with God, that all of our contentment comes from Him. We need to be careful. The second thing that we see tonight is that we're separate. We are separate. We're in the victory. I want to put it to you like that. When it says here that they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, keep this in mind. It says here that the world hears them. If you're going to war against an enemy, one thing you want to do is not only get into their communication systems, but listen, those of you who've studied this kind of stuff, you don't want to destroy their communication systems. If you have to, you have to, but you don't want to. There's one thing better than destroying their communication systems. It's getting control of their communication systems, because through that, you can communicate to the forces on the field false or misinformation. It's a very powerful way of winning a war. Rather than blow up their communication system, you steal it. And you begin to lace their communication system with false information to lead the forces astray. Listen, God has given us the Bible and the Holy Spirit. The victory, your Bible says, has already been won in Christ. It's done. The world and the schemings and deceptions of the world is constantly, Satan is probing and stalking and crouching and crawling about to try to infiltrate and to rip off the believer. The beautiful thing about the believer is that the believer comes out of the corner of victory. You ever seen a boxing match? Those guys are there, and what if you knew about the outcome of the fight before it ever started? Maybe somebody, you know, handed you a video. Here, you know, did you hear about the outcome of the fight? Yes. Oh, well, I watched the video anyway. You already know who won. So because you know who won, let's say, you know, it's Holyfield wins over Tyson, and you put the thing in there, you already know the outcome. Because you know the outcome, you're going to be prone to be looking at the winner's corner more often, because you're going to see, maybe you're going to pick up on what led about to the victory.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle warns about deception, and specifically in this lesson, we're learning about lying signs and wonders. Living in the Days of Deception is the title of this multi-part series. Living in the Days, spelled D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's actually a mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's overall collection of studies, taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And once again, it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment where I get to pull Pastor Jack into the studio here and submit questions sent in by Real Radio listeners just like you. Now, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it in. Send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. All right, Pastor Jack, got a good one for you today. This question comes from a listener in Texas. JT says, I've been listening to your broadcast here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it's been blessing me. If I could, I would attend your church. Of course, we always like to hear that, don't we?
If I could, I'd move to Dallas-Fort Worth area.
And we'd move in with you. Here's my question, says JT. God speaks to me all the time, and I hear him, and I follow him, but my walk and my talk do not match. Why is it that I'm scared to really let go and totally trust God? He signs it, Sincerely, a Heart for God, JT.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm actually wondering as I hear this, because, you know, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but as Davey pitches these questions to me, these are all not non-rehearsed.
Yeah, you haven't seen them.
And I got to tell you, JT, I think almost every Christian feels what you feel.
Yeah.
I hear from God, and he tells me what to do in his word as I seek his word daily. It's amazing to me how God, in his infinite brilliance, as I read the Bible in the morning, how my day is already kind of rigged based upon what I read in the morning. It's amazing. Right. But I fail. I'll have an impatient thought, or I'll get upset about this, or I don't represent Jesus as I ought to in this situation or that. That whole struggle is an indication of new life in us. Look, before you were a Christian, you didn't have this struggle.
You didn't care.
You didn't care.
Yeah.
And now you care because the name of Jesus is everything to you, and you want to walk closer with him. Here's the great thing. God has positionally declared us justified in Christ. That's what the book of Romans is all about. You can't get any more holy than you already are before God. Isn't
right.
that amazing?
Yeah.
That's what the book of Romans is about.
Mm-hmm.
But the book of James speaks about our temporal justification, meaning the life we're living right now, that we are to be practicing what we know. Do we fail? Yes.
Yeah.
That's why we have a mediator between us and God, and that is Christ Jesus. So number one, be encouraged that your heart is to follow God. Number two, listen, the closer you draw to Jesus, the less you're going to sin. Notice mm-hmm. how I put it that way. The less you're going to sin. Mm. Here's the funny little catch. You'll begin to be more obedient. You'll begin to sin less, but you're never sinless.
Okay.
But the sin that you do commit, you actually feel worse than ever.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're closer to the light.
Yeah.
You understand him more. Mm-hmm. You love him more. So that now just the littlest thought of rebellion against him or pain against him is something that hurts you greatly. I want to argue, JT, that you're walking closer to Jesus than you might think. You know, Paul the Apostle said in Romans 7, that the very good that I want to do,
yeah.
I wind up not doing that thing. And the very, very wrong that I've declared I'll never do, that I wind up doing. And listen, read Romans 7, because right at the crescendo, the end of Paul, you could feel Paul almost pulling his hair out. He says, who will deliver me from this body of sin and death?
Right.
And his answer is, I thank God that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you burst into the sunlight in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's awesome. So, JT, join the club, brother. There's victory. You're closer to Jesus than you think. Read Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8 and rejoice.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, if you'd like to ask Pastor Jack a question, email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.